3. Ah, here. Praskovya Ivanovna indicated an easy chair near the table and sank heavily into it with the assistance of Mavriky Nikolaevich. I wouldn't have sat down in your house, my lady, if it weren't for my legs, she added in a breaking voice. Varvara Petrovna raised her head a little and, with an expression of suffering, pressed the fingers of her right hand to her right temple, evidently in acute pain. Dic douloureux. Why so, Praskovya Ivanovna? Why wouldn't you sit down in my house? I possessed your late husband's sincere friendship all his life, and you and I used to play with our dolls at school together as girls. Praskovya Ivanovna waved her hands. I knew that was coming. You always begin about the school when you want to reproach me, that's your way. But to my thinking, that's only fine talk. I can't stand the school you're always talking about. You've come in rather a bad temper, I'm afraid. How are your legs? Here, they're bringing you some coffee. Please have some. Drink it, and don't be cross. Varvara Petrovna, you treat me as though I were a child. I won't have any coffee, so there. And she pettishly waved away the footman who was bringing her coffee. All the others refused coffee, too, except Mavriky Nikolaevich and me. Stepan Trofimovitch took it, but put it aside on the table. Though Marya Timofyevna was very eager to have another cup, and even put out her hand to take it, on second thoughts she refused it ceremoniously, and was obviously pleased with herself for doing so. Varvara Petrovna gave a wry smile. I'll tell you what it is, Praskovya Ivanovna, my friend. You must have taken some fancy into your head again, and that's why you've come. You've simply lived on fancies all your life. You flew into a fury at the mere mention of our school. But do you remember how you came and persuaded all the class that a hussar named Shablikin had proposed to you, and how Madame Lefebvre proved on the spot you were lying? Yet you weren't lying. You were simply imagining it all to amuse yourself. Come, tell me, what is it now? What are you fancying now? What is it vexes you? And you fell in love with the priest who used to teach us scripture at school. So much for you, since you've such a spiteful memory. She laughed viciously and went off into a fit of coughing. Ah, you've not forgotten the priest, then? Said Varvara Petrovna, looking at her vindictively. Her face turned green. Praskovya Ivanovna suddenly assumed a dignified air. I'm in no laughing mood now, madam. Why have you drawn my daughter into your scandals in the face of the whole town? That's what I've come about. My scandals? Varvara Petrovna drew herself up menacingly. Maman, I entreat you, too, to restrain yourself, Lizaveta Nikolaevna brought out suddenly. What's that you say? The maman was on the point of breaking into a squeal again, but catching her daughter's flashing eye, she subsided suddenly. How could you talk about scandal, maman? Cried Liza, flushing red. I came of my own accord, with Yulia Mikhailovna's permission, because I wanted to learn this unhappy woman's story and to be of use to her. This unhappy woman's story, Praskovya Ivanovna drawled with a spiteful laugh. Is it your place to mix yourself up with such stories? Ah, enough of your tyrannizing. She turned furiously to Varvara Petrovna. I don't know whether it's true or not. They say you keep the whole town in order, but it seems your turn has come at last. Varvara Petrovna sat straight as an arrow ready to fly from the bow. For 10 seconds she looked sternly and immovably at Praskovya Ivanovna. Well, Praskovya, you must thank God that all here present are our friends, she said at last, with ominous composure. You've said a great deal better unsaid. But I'm not so much afraid of what the world will say, my lady, as some people. It's you who, under a show of pride, are trembling at what people will say. And as for all here being your friends, it's better for you than if strangers had been listening. Have you grown wiser during this last week? It's not that I've grown wiser, but simply that the truth has come out this week. What truth has come out this week? Listen, Praskovya Ivanovna, don't irritate me. Explain to me this minute, I beg you as a favour, what truth has come out, and what do you mean by that? Why, there it is, sitting before you. And Praskovya Ivanovna suddenly pointed at Marya Timofyevna, with that desperate determination which takes no heed of consequences, if only it can make an impression at the moment. Marya Timofyevna, who had watched her all the time with light-hearted curiosity, laughed exultingly at the sight of the wrathful guest's finger, pointed impetuously at her, and wriggled gleefully in her easy-chair. "God Almighty have mercy on us, they've all gone crazy!" exclaimed Varvara Petrovna, and turning pale, she sank back in her chair. She turned so pale that it caused some commotion. Stepan Trofimovitch was the first to rush up to her. I drew near also. Even Liza got up from her seat, though she did not come forward. But the most alarmed of all was Praskovya Ivanovna herself. She uttered a scream, got up as far as she could, and almost wailed in a lachrymose voice, "Varvara Petrovna, dear, forgive me for my wicked foolishness. Give her some water, somebody." "Don't whimper, please, Praskovya Ivanovna, and leave me alone, gentlemen, please. I don't want any water," Varvara Petrovna pronounced in a firm, though low voice, with blanched lips. "Varvara Petrovna, my dear," Praskovya Ivanovna went on, a little reassured. "Though I am to blame for my reckless words, what's upset me more than anything are these anonymous letters that some low creatures keep bombarding me with. They might write to you, since it concerns you, but I've a daughter." Varvara Petrovna looked at her in silence, with wide-open eyes, listening with wonder. At that moment, a side door in the corner opened noiselessly, and Darya Pavlovna made her appearance. She stood still and looked round. She was struck by our perturbation. Probably she did not at first distinguish Marya Timofyevna, of whose presence she had not been informed. Stepan Trofimovitch was the first to notice her. He made a rapid movement, turned red, and for some reason proclaimed in a loud voice, "Darya Pavlovna!" so that all eyes turned on the newcomer.
"Oh, this is your Darya Pavlovna!" cried Marya Timofyevna. "Well, Shatushka, your sister's not like you. How can my fellow call such a charmer the serf-wench Dasha?"
Meanwhile, Darya Pavlovna had gone up to Varvara Petrovna, but struck by Marya Timofyevna's exclamation, she turned quickly and stopped just before her chair, looking at the imbecile with a long, fixed gaze. "Sit down, Dasha," Varvara Petrovna brought out with terrifying composure. "Nearer. That's right. You can see this woman sitting down. Do you know her?"
"I have never seen her," Dasha answered quietly,
and after a pause she added at once,
"She must be the invalid sister of Captain Lebyadkin."
"And it's the first time I've set eyes on you, my love, though I've been interested and wanted to know you a long time, for I see how well-bred you are in every movement you make,"
Marya Timofyevna cried enthusiastically.
"And though my footman swears at you, can such a well-educated, charming person as you really have stolen money from him? For you are sweet, sweet, sweet. I tell you that from myself," she concluded, enthusiastically waving her hand.
"Can you make anything of it?" Varvara Petrovna asked with proud dignity.
"I understand it."
"Have you heard about the money?"
"No doubt it's the money that I undertook at Nikolai Sievolodovitch's request to hand over to her brother, Captain Lebyadkin."
A silence followed. "Did Nikolai Sievolodovitch himself ask you to do so?"
"He was very anxious to send that money, 300 rubles, to Mr. Lebyadkin, and as he didn't know his address, but only knew that he was to be in our town, he charged me to give it to Mr. Lebyadkin if he came."
"What is the money lost? What was this woman speaking about just now?"
"That I don't know. I've heard before that Mr. Lebyadkin says I didn't give him all the money, but I don't understand his words. There were 300 rubles, and I sent him 300 rubles.
Darya Pavlovna had almost completely regained her composure, and it was difficult, I may mention, as a rule, to astonish the girl or ruffle her calm for long, whatever she might be feeling. She brought out all her answers now without haste, replied immediately to every question with accuracy, quietly, smoothly, and without a trace of the sudden emotion she had shown at first, or the slightest embarrassment which might have suggested a consciousness of guilt.
Varvara Petrovna's eyes were fastened upon her all the time she was speaking. Varvara Petrovna thought for a minute.
"If," she pronounced at last, firmly, evidently addressing all present, though she only looked at Dasha, "if Nikolai Vsyevolodovitch did not appeal even to me, but asked you to do this for him, he must have had his reasons for doing so. I don't consider I have any right to inquire into them, if they are kept secret from me, but the very fact of your having taken part in the matter reassures me on that score. Be sure of that, Darya, in any case. But you see, my dear, you may, through ignorance of the world, have quite innocently done something imprudent, and you did so when you undertook to have dealings with a low character. The rumours spread by this rascal show what a mistake you made. But I will find out about him, and as it is my task to protect you, I shall know how to defend you. But now, all this must be put a stop to."
"The best thing to do," said Marya Timofyevna, popping up from her chair, "is to send him to the footman's room when he comes. Let him sit on the benches there and play cards with them, while we sit here and drink coffee. We might send him a cup of coffee, too, but I have a great contempt for him."
And she wagged her head expressively. "We must put a stop to this," Varvara Petrovna repeated, listening attentively to Marya Timofyevna. "Ring, Stepan Trofimovitch, I beg you." Stepan Trofimovitch rang, and suddenly stepped forward, all excitement.
If, he faltered feverishly, flushing, breaking off and stuttering, "if I, too, have heard the most revolting story, or rather slander, it was with utter indignation. Enfin, c'est un homme perdu, et quelque chose comme une format évade."
He broke down and could not go on. Varvara Petrovna, screwing up her eyes, looked him up and down. The ceremonious butler, Alexei Yegorych, came in. "The carriage," Varvara Petrovna ordered. "And you, Alexei Yegorych, get ready to escort Miss Lebyadkin home. She will give you the address herself. Mr. Lebyadkin has been waiting for her for some time downstairs, and has been begging me to announce him."
"That's impossible, Varvara Petrovna."
And Mavriky Nikolaevich, who had sat all the time in unbroken silence, suddenly came forward in alarm.
"If I may speak, he is not a man who can be admitted into society. He's an impossible person, Varvara Petrovna."
"Wait a moment," said Varvara Petrovna to Alexei Yegorych, and he disappeared at once.
"C'est un homme malhonnête, et je crois même que c'est une force à évader ou quelque chose dans ce genre,"
Stepan Trofimovitch muttered again, and again he flushed red and broke off. "Lisa, it's time we were going," announced Praskovya Ivanovna disdainfully, getting up from her seat. She seemed sorry that in her alarm she had called herself a fool. While Darya Pavlovna was speaking, she listened, pressing her lips superciliously. But what struck me most was the expression of Lizaveta Nikolaevna from the moment Darya Pavlovna had come in. There was a gleam of hatred and hardly disguised contempt in her eyes.
"Wait one minute, Praskovya Ivanovna, I beg you," Varvara Petrovna detained her, still with the same exaggerated composure. "Kindly sit down. I intend to speak out, and your legs are bad. That's right, thank you. I lost my temper just now and uttered some impatient words. Be so good as to forgive me.
I behaved foolishly, and I'm the first to regret it, because I like fairness in everything. Losing your temper, too, of course, you spoke of certain anonymous letters. Every anonymous communication is deserving of contempt, just because it's not signed. If you think differently, I'm sorry for you. In any case, if I were in your place, I would not pry into such dirty corners. I would not soil my hands with it. But you have soiled yours. However, since you have begun on the subject yourself, I must tell you that 6 days ago I, too, received a clownish anonymous letter. In it, some rascal informs me that Nikolai Vsyevolodovitch has gone out of his mind, and that I have reason to fear some lame woman who is destined to play a great part in my life. I remember the expression. Reflecting and being aware that Nikolai Vsyevolodovitch has very numerous enemies, I promptly sent for a man living here, one of his secret enemies, and the most vindictive and contemptible of them, and from my conversation with him I gathered what was the despicable source of the anonymous letter. If you too, my poor Praskovya Ivanovna, have been worried by similar letters on my account, and, as you say, bombarded with them, I am, of course, the first to regret having been the innocent cause of it. That's all I wanted to tell you by way of explanation. I am very sorry to see that you are so tired and so upset. Besides, I have quite made up my mind to see that suspicious personage of whom Mavriky Nikolaevich said just now, a little inappropriately, that it was impossible to receive him. Liza, in particular, need have nothing to do with it. Come to me, Liza, my dear. Let me kiss you again. Liza crossed the room and stood in silence before Varvara Petrovna. The latter kissed her, took her hands, and, holding her at arm's length, looked at her with feeling, then made the sign of the cross over her, and kissed her again. "Well, goodbye, Liza." There was almost the sound of tears in Varvara Petrovna's voice. "Believe that I shall never cease to love you, whatever fate has in store for you. God be with you. I have always blessed his holy will." She would have added something more, but restrained herself and broke off. Liza was walking back to her place, still in the same silence, as it were plunged in thought. But she suddenly stopped before her mother. "I am not going yet, mother. I will stay a little longer at auntie's," she brought out in a low voice, but there was a note of iron determination in those quiet words. "My goodness, what now?" wailed Praskovya Ivanovna, clasping her hands helplessly. But Liza did not answer, and seemed indeed not to hear her. She sat down in the same corner, and fell to gazing into space again as before. There was a look of pride and triumph in Varvara Petrovna's face. "Mavriky Nikolaevich, I have a great favour to ask of you. Be so kind as to go and take a look at that person downstairs, and if there is any possibility of admitting him, bring him up here." Mavriky Nikolaevich bowed and went out. A moment later, he brought in Mr. Lebyadkin.